Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. At Within the Realm, we say there's a story behind everything, and we try to tell those stories. Most of our stories begin within my realm, people and events that I know. Today's episode is no different. Our subject today is a young lady I've known for almost her entire life, Emily. The production of this episode is a bit different, however. This episode marks our first international story. Emily resides in Germany, and through the magic of the internet, this episode was made. Emily's parents, Brent and Leslie, were dear friends of my wife and me. We met them when Emily was about 4. Both of our families moved, but we kept in contact over the distances as best as we could. Years later, Emily attended college in the city where we were living at the time. I enjoyed her youthful enthusiasm and adventurous spirit. She was always doing something, let's say, unique. She even had a brief stint as a roller derby girl. Her moniker was Emily Jane the Pain. That adventurous spirit led her to a year in Europe where she met a guy, Philip, who is now her husband. Emily's relocation to Germany gave us more distance to overcome, but social media provides a few ways to do that. One day, I came across a message that contained a video of Emily's routine at a stand-up comedy open mic night. I found out stand-up comedy in Germany was performed in both English and German, and has only recently become a form of entertainment. Intrigued, I asked Emily to help me put together an episode about comedy in Germany. She gathered a few comedian friends there in Germany to discuss the growing scene. They include Tom Karpinen, a fellow American, Brooke White, who does stand-up in both English and German, Kirthi Iyer, originally from India, but helped establish the stand-up scene in Frankfurt, and Mylar Bondach, a German comedian.
Why is stand-up comedy becoming more popular in Germany now?
Because I think younger Germans don't want to be labeled the German stereotype.
Like, Germans aren't funny.
Yeah, even, like, I've done some shows outside Germany. I met some Germans, and because our show is a bit about me and my partner comedian. So we do this show, and I present it like, hey, you know, we're two comedians living in Germany. Who would have thought, like, comedy in Germany, right? And sometimes I would meet a German person. They were like, we are Germans. This is not a selling point, you know, like... And I'm like, well, you're proving a point if you're not going to laugh at the humor of it. You know?
Right.
But I think they want a break. They don't like it. And I understand it. I don't blame them. So the younger generation, they're more exposed to US, UK.
Yeah.
They don't want to be labeled as German.
But, like, you kind of have that feeling where Germans don't laugh out loud as much.
But I think
that's not just a feeling. That's something that you watched Anissa and Amani. That's, like, the first half hour of a skit is about that.
True.
Basically. As I said, I had a friend from Northern Germany, which are stereotypically even worse. And he laughed once when we watched Nanette. And then afterward told me, he really enjoyed it. He thought it was cool. And
yeah,
laughed once.
Germans do like the smile and nod. Like,
yes,
I like accept this joke.
When it comes to laughing, Germans are so, like, in traffic. Or they walk on the green light, even though there's no car coming. So they need some directions. You may laugh now because it's funny and no one will judge you. That's how Germans are ticking. When I stand on stage, sometimes I have some, let's call it, for German taste, dark material.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really do not know if they're supposed to laugh because otherwise they are afraid that they're going to be judged.
Yeah. I feel like German comedy is like 20 years behind like American and British comedy. When you see, like, a German comic that's really popular today, now there's like some exceptions.
I think one of the reasons that you are not looking at is, in terms of why it's taking up so much, is that the younger generation, first-generation Germans, the people with what we call a migratory background, they are driving this a lot because they have this possibility to be an outsider. They have the, you know, they're allowed to make almost racist jokes because they can talk about it, how they perceive racism rather than making a racist joke. And as long as they stay in that role, the German audience is very grateful for being able to laugh at racist jokes.
Actually, Germans love to laugh. I mean, they have a festival once a year where they dress up and get drunk.
Yeah, but
they also get permission when to laugh.
Yes.
I just want to talk about the state of humor in Germany, like just in general. Like, what do you guys think about German comics in Germany?
But now we talk about German-speaking German comics. Yes?
Yeah, so just like German-speaking German comics, I guess, first.
Well, first of all, they do exist. In Germany, we have this stark separation between political comedy and satire on one hand side, and on the other hand, the stuff that is now known as stand-up comedy. That's a fairly new thing. Before that, it was more like sketches and situational comedy. Mm-hmm. And people, like, I'm not saying people slipping on bananas, but kind of like that sort of stuff.
Right. I feel like German humor in the movies is very physical humor.
No, not all of it. Like, there's a couple of really, like, one of my favorite lines in a German movie was something like, men don't eat honey, they chew bees.
Okay.
That's not really physical at all.
No,
but it's very...
I find German humor to be, personally, lackluster. Like 1950s Red Skeleton-esque, maybe Bob Hope-ish. It's like really behind. It's like 50 years behind America.
I wouldn't say 50 years.
But it's definitely
Bob. I am also thinking that you may not get every reference simply because you're grown up in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work very much. The audiences are not yet very much in tune with what the dialogue is going to be like. And the other problem is really that adult Germans do not laugh a lot if they're not sufficiently socially lubricated.
They need a lot of
not
beer.
Not a lot, but they need a bit of beer, and we are very much moving out of the everybody drinks beer department at the moment.
Right.
So, how does a quintessential Midwestern girl find herself in the middle of the flowering German stand-up comedy scene? Following that adventurous spirit, she sought it out.
I think that I wanted to try stand-up comedy for a couple different reasons. I think, one, I love comedy, I love stand-up comedy, and I love the idea of finding humor in a frustrating situation. Moving to a new country is inherently frustrating. You're dealing with so many things, and you can either complain about it or you can laugh about it. And my personality is one that I would rather laugh about something than just be constantly frustrated or annoyed about it. And secondly, I think the comedy scene, the English comedy scene in Europe is very international, and I really enjoy that. I really enjoy coming together with people from all different countries and laughing. I think that that is really cathartic for me, and it's really nice to be around people from so many different countries and to say, oh, like, don't you think this is crazy? And for them to say, oh, yeah, it is, and it makes you feel less crazy because you feel validated in this observation and or in this feeling of frustration. And then maybe you can decide, okay, even though it's crazy, like, I have to deal with this because I live in this country and I have to figure out a way to deal, you know, to work with this country in this way. But I think until you can find a way to deal with those emotions and deal with those annoyances, it's hard. It's really hard. And that's what the comedy aspect of it was really, that's what I really liked. It was a healthy way to deal with all of these frustrations and meet together with other people that wanted to laugh too. The first time that I tried stand-up, I think I was very naive and I didn't think too much about if anything went wrong. I just really, really wanted to try it out. Well, first of all, I really wanted to find a comedy community. I live in a little village kind of far away from a bigger city, and so I wasn't necessarily exposed to all the things that go on in a big city where you have all of that international culture coming together. And so it wasn't until I thought to Google it and to see if it even existed that I found out that it does exist and that there's like this big thriving community of it and that there were things that I could go do near me. When I finally got up the guts to go and to try, I found that I really, really liked it. And that not only did I like it, but that I was pretty good at it. So it ended up being one of those things that, in retrospect, I don't think that I had thought everything through, but it all worked out, so that's good. And then I ended up finding a really great community and finding meeting really great people that I connected with, that I enjoy being around, and they're all very supportive. It's a very supportive community, and you all kind of want to help each other be as funny and as good as you can possibly be. And so, yeah, I lucked out, I guess. I think one of the interesting things about doing stand-up comedy in Germany specifically is that if you have a lot of Germans in your crowd, they aren't necessarily going to laugh out loud or just laugh loudly whenever you make a joke. And that's a little bit intimidating because if you can't see the person's face and you can't really hear if the joke is going very well or not, then you think, oh, I didn't do that well. But then later they would say, oh, you were so funny. Like, you did such a good job. And that's one of the funny things that I've noticed about Germans in an audience. Now, this generation, I would say, it's hit or miss. You might have a lot of them that will just laugh and you'll hear it and it's a normal audience. But my favorite is the German sitting in the audience and he just is smiling and nodding. And you know, like, he thinks that you are hilarious, but that's as much as he's ever probably going to do. And you just have to learn to be okay with that.
Since that time, Emily has continued to perform and has been invited by other comedians to share the bill. Here's a recording of the first video I received from Emily from her open mic night performance.
So I recently realized that my life's purpose has become to convince people that there's a very good possibility that they're going to get murdered. And not a lot of people like to hear that, and especially people who probably are going to get murdered, they're the ones that are probably going to argue with me the hardest. And those are the people that I really want to convince that they're going to get murdered, because it's probably going to happen. I mean, it happens all the time, it happens to anybody. And I've also noticed that the people who are most likely to say this will never happen to me are men. And somehow men think that for whatever reason, they won't get murdered. But I feel like it's 2018, it's equal opportunity, like, men get murdered. So, yeah, and they also like to believe that just bad things in general are not gonna happen to them. Like, I'm very insane about never getting drugged in my drinks. Like, I have so many rules. And guys kind of think that's never going to happen to them. Like, it can happen to guys and girls, but for some reason, only girls are crazy about it, and guys are like, whatever, who cares? Like, it's probably not going to happen to me. However, I used to hang out with this group of guys, and I'd always say, like, hey, can you please wash my drink when I go to the bathroom? And they'd always make fun of me, like, that's never going to happen, and we stop being so paranoid. And then they went to Las Vegas, and they had this really cool, like, bro group together, and they were walking the streets. And they said it's a bouncer, but I feel like it's probably just some random guy, said, oh my gosh, you guys are so cool. Like, why don't you come to my club and you can sit in the VIP booth and get a free bottle of champagne because you're just so cool. And because there's just a big old group of guys, they totally believed it. Like, oh my gosh, finally somebody believes that we're so cool. Like, they can see it. And so they're like, thank you for finally realizing this. And they go and they sit in the VIP booth and they drink their free champagne. And that's the last thing they remembered is that they got in the hotel room with no money and no credit cards. And they come back home and they're like, Emily, can you believe this happened? And it's like, yes, I told you this. It can happen to anybody.
Thanks for joining us on Within the Realm. Be sure to look up the show notes for today's episode. We'll have links to some of the German comedians you heard today and a full recording of Emily's discussion with her counterparts in the German comedy scene. Special thanks to Emily's husband, Philip, who helped bring this interview together. You can find the show notes at withinpodcast.com as well as an archive of previous episodes. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or other podcatchers. Remember to leave a 5-star review. You can contact us at contact@withinpodcast.com or on our Facebook page or our Twitter account. Our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And as always, thanks for listening.